Hey, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. We are backstage at Marathon Music Works in Nashville, Tennessee, just a few hours before the big show with the War on Drugs. And I'm here with founding member, guitar player, songwriter, the whole enchilada,
yeah.
Adam Granduciel.
How you doing?
Hey, man, thanks so much for joining us.
I've watched them all.
All right, good. You're one of us.
Special. Yeah, totally.
Hey, man, let's start. I know you travel with a lot of guitars, actually more than we can actually cover, but
right.
Let's cover like some of your faves, maybe
sure.
Starting with that sweet
thing. The one of the newer Fender era Gretsch White Falcons. And the second I picked it up, like the second I plugged it in, Fender was nice enough to like send me a few guitars.
Yeah.
And like we've played a show in Phoenix where they're based, and one of my amps blew up in the middle of the show. At the end of the show, there was like a note on the stage with Fender stationery being like, bring it by the shop tomorrow, we'll fix it.
Oh, great.
And that's kind of where the relationship started, which is amazing.
Good old-fashioned customer service.
Great.
Yeah.
And then over the next couple months, they ended up sending me a few guitars. And the second I plugged this one in, I was like, oh, wow, this is now like the nicest guitar I own. It's amazing. It's like...
That's great.
It's the pickups, what are these called again?
Filtertrons,
that's
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Just so it's like so classic and it's so clear,
yeah,
and loud and like.
Do you have any feedback issues with it? I mean, because you.
I don't. It actually has the center block thing going.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I get a lot of the amps and the monitors.
Yeah.
Now because of a lot of different things, but sometimes it'll start the feedback, but it's actually kind of cool. You can control it a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, yeah, it's part
but
of
with
your
all the
thing.
Fuzz and stuff, it doesn't really matter. It does a really good job.
Cool.
And it's a beautiful instrument. I'm really fortunate playing it.
Totally iconic, man.
I play it on like, a song called Suffering and a few others. Sometimes I drop it down to C and play like the low C droning and
yeah.
It keeps the tune great.
Oh, that's
so
great.
It's really special piece.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, so we got something new, now something old.
Yeah, this is 1981 Les Paul Deluxe.
Nice.
That is my main guitar.
How long have you had this?
I've had this for about 5 years.
Wow, great.
Yeah. I got it from my local shop in Philadelphia, where I live, and at DePinto Guitars, and it's great. The pick guard, when I got it, the pick guard was broken, so I took it off and I glued it, and then I looked at it one day and I was like, oh, it's kind of cool without the pick guard.
Yeah.
So I kind of never put it back on. And original mini humbuckers.
That's great. So that's basically stock, then.
Pretty much, yeah. The only thing that's not is these graphite saddles.
Mm-hmm.
That I was like breaking strings like crazy, and so this guy in San Francisco, Gary Brower, I brought it in when we played there once, and he put these graphite saddles on, and then told me to wind it like Jimmy Page style.
Right.
And I don't think I've broken a string since.
Oh, cool. And I like your strap lock.
Yeah, this is the. Yeah. Original strap lock that I invented.
Yeah.
Black yeah. gaff.
Yeah, get a good look. Yeah, look at that.
There you go.
Keeping it classy.
It's good.
Yeah.
So this is this is a special guitar for me.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's I don't know. It's also really not that heavy. I had a when I was 15, I bought like a I don't even know what year it was, but I bought a Les Paul Deluxe in wine red.
Yeah.
But someone had like routed it out and put in like DiMarzio humbuckers in, and
sure.
It was all kind of hacked up. But I still loved it because it was like the first guitar I ever bought myself.
Yeah.
But then I sold it when I moved to Philly to make rent. So I was always like on the hunt for another Deluxe.
Right. Do you like this one better than the old one? Or,
yeah, definitely.
Cool.
The other one, I was maybe a little too young anyway to really know too much about it, but
yeah.
The DiMar, like the super humbuckers are so loud.
Yeah.
You know, and then having played the minis, I was like, oh, it's such a different guitar.
Yeah.
Like these are really clean and open and like
yeah.
bright.
And that low output makes it easier to switch between that and like a Fender or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, like going from this to the Strat is not that much of a difference.
Sure.
Which is really kind of nice.
Yeah.
And this is the 66 non-reverse Firebird.
Wow, that's great.
That I got at Old Town Music in Portland a couple years ago. It's actually kind of the first nice instrument I ever bought myself.
That's beautiful.
I was on tour. And so it's not all original. The body's obviously original. The neck. These are Lawler P90s. Mm-hmm. He's actually based up near Portland, too.
Oh, yeah. So did the previous owner put those pickups in, or is that something
yeah.
you did?
Yeah. I didn't put these in. I assume either the owner or Hank at the Old Town might have popped them in. I think this is an Epiphone pickguard. You can kind of see that someone, I guess they started to maybe want to put, I don't know what
what's going on here. Was there?
Maybe they tried to do like banjo style on some of the Firebirds, and then they were like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Or it was a nine string, which is even scarier.
Yeah. That's good. It's like archaeology when you look at an old guitar.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, that stuff doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
I'm not really.
Let's get a good view of that. Can you? I don't know if you can see the weird, almost, somebody almost had a good idea.
Yeah.
Or almost a terrible idea.
Some putty or something.
Yeah.
And then I put this Bigsby Vibra mate on recently in Chicago, in Chicago Music Exchange, because I wanted one. I wanted a guitar with the vibrola that came with these originally, but it's too, I also want it to stay in tune, so this is kind of your best bet for not drilling.
Right.
And just kind of having something to play with.
Yeah.
It's great.
A lot more user-friendly.
A lot more user-friendly, and it still looks nice.
Yeah, and age-appropriate, kind of, you know, fits in that old-school vibe. Awesome.
So I love this. But the funny thing about this guitar is that with the other ones, I can swap in between them.
Yeah.
And something when I pick, like if I pick this up off the boat, all of a sudden it's like, I feel like it's such a beast of a neck and everything.
Yeah.
It feels like, I don't know what, like, I feel like I don't know how to play guitar or something when I pick it up.
Well, it's funny.
Playing like a Strat or something.
Like I saw you playing that on that Seattle radio thing
and
you had it capoed up, but the neck's so long, it's like, it seemed normal.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Like you cut off half the neck, but it's like you didn't even.
If I play a whole show with it, then I'll remember, I'll be like, oh, that's right, this is like my favorite guitar.
Yeah.
But it, like going in between guitars for tunings or whatever,
it's
difficult to pick this up and like and play it the same way. But I really love that one.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then this one is a another one that Fender sent me, which I fell in love with. And this is, I picked it out, but it's a 56 reissue, white Strat. My friend Jesse has a Fender 57 reissue, and I played his once, and the neck is like super skinny and like really, really skinny and really playable. And so I assumed the 56 was gonna have the same neck.
Yeah.
And when I got this, I was surprised at how different they are and how thick this neck is. It's like a baseball bat. And that's actually the thing that I love most about it, is like, kind of have to work a little harder maybe than other Strats to play it.
Man, I wonder if that was like a standardized thing where they changed them year to year, or if it's just because they were cutting them out, like one guy was like cutting out a neck.
Right, that's the thing. Like
sometimes they're bigger, sometimes they're smaller.
And I guess Fender's really trying hard to, with all the reissues, to do everything to spec.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as time went on in the 60s, everyone was getting dirtier, and I guess Leo was trying to go cleaner with everything.
Yeah.
And
oh,
so,
cool.
I the only Strat I'd ever owned was like a 70s Japanese knockoff Strat.
Yeah.
That I really loved. It's called a Lark. But I wasn't sure if I was like into Stratocasters. And then having this now for about 5 months, I love it so much.
Oh, really?
It's great sounds. And I find myself usually in the neck, but I don't know. It's just real smooth and really fun to play. Looks sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I randomly too, I got this. It's a company. I forget the name of the company, but they make knockoff like straps.
That's
like
perfect.
Based off of old straps. And
sure.
I just grabbed this one off the wall in Chicago because I was like, oh, I love that strap. It would look good on my white Strat.
It's a total Hendrix thing, right?
And that's the thing. And then we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And there was pictures of Jimmy, and this is a knockoff of his strap.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh wow, that's
perfect.
Amazing.
Meant to be.
Totally. So, and then the only other one, because we have a lot, but I got this in Toronto recently.
That's great.
64 SG. Pretty much all original, I think. I was just in there to buy a phaser pedal. So I grabbed the phaser and I was like, let me just grab that SG because it looks awesome and I will never buy it.
Yeah.
And I was just playing this through like a 70s Fender Deluxe. And I forgot about the phaser entirely, still bought it. And then fell in love with this guitar. And it has everything I love. It has the vibrola, and it has just a single P90.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, it's kind of cool. At first it was weird because it's so notched out because it's in the bridge.
Yeah.
It's such a certain sound.
Yeah.
So, you know, with the Les Paul, you can go into the neck and make it kind of beefier in the middle, real clean.
Right.
So this is kind of just one sound. But yes. I really love it. It's just such a player's guitar. And
do you jack with the tone at all to kind of...
I keep with all my guitars, I pretty much keep everything at 10.
Yeah.
With the exception of the Strat, which I'm learning how to, like, control, like, the fuzz face.
Yeah.
Volume and rolling it off.
Oh, cool.
But for the most part, I keep everything jacked up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great, man. Isn't it amazing, the design back then? Just
yeah.
the way it looks so primitive and
yeah,
like...
Yeah, look at that bridge. I mean, it's like...
I know, it's funny.
But it stays in tune great. And
oh,
like,
really? Do you use a whammy bar? And
yeah.
It's, wow.
Yeah, just real light.
Yeah.
You know, but it's real sweet. Real yeah. expressive, so...
Beautiful. So if you were on a desert island that had an amp and electricity, which would be your
I'd
favorite
I'd probably just
amp?
Grab the whole boat.
yeah.
No,
yeah.
I'd probably bring the Les Paul.
Yeah.
And maybe I'd take the, what I'd probably do is try to prepare and take the Vibramate off the Firebird and put on the Paul.
Sure, yeah.
And grab my Jimmy strap and move the feather or something
yeah.
for the Les Paul.
Yeah. Okay, so this is like the mothership.
Yeah.
And it starts with just an old school quarter inch cable, right?
Yeah, quarter inch cable. Bob Bradshaw in Los Angeles, legendary guitar guy, built me this thing. And
awesome.
At first I was kind of hesitant because I, like everybody else, I had my homemade pedal board.
Yeah.
And everything was in a row. And I was like, I knew how to kind of get my sound.
Yeah.
But reliability was the main thing, and so I decided to go ahead with it. Me and Bob designed it, and it's been awesome. Like, I couldn't have asked for anything more.
Cool.
So you plug right into the switcher in the back.
Okay, and that's just a Bradshaw proprietary switcher?
Right, yep. He builds everything by hand, does all the wiring, all the little
wow.
crazy little idiosyncratic clips and everything.
Yeah. Total detailed stuff.
It doesn't, most people, like the fuzz people would say you have to plug right into the fuzz. For some pedals, I feel like I've noticed it a little bit, but for the most part, everything sounds like it should going into, I don't know if it's buffered or if it's non-buffered or what.
Yeah.
But everything sounds great. So you go into this from the guitar, and then the first one, so the way this works, obviously, is everything's on a loop. So you just...
Okay.
Controlling it with the MIDI and then bringing things in and out of a loop.
Okay.
So if you want, you can just have guitar, fuzz, amp. And
oh,
it's not
cool.
going through anything else, signal loss or whatever you want to call
oh,
it.
Oh, cool.
And if something's buzzing, you can be like, what is that? And if you just go, you can just turn everything off and be like, all right, the guitar's fine, the amp is fine.
Yeah.
It's one of these pedals. And so if this is buzzing, you just don't use it, you know, and you figure
yeah.
it out after the show.
Yeah.
So this is first in the... chain, which is a JHS in Kansas City, a Bun Runner, and it's a tone bender and a super fuzz.
Oh, cool.
And you can either use one or the other, or you can cascade them, and you could choose which one's first, which is cool.
Oh, very cool.
And this is like a gate, which in my experience just kind of makes it sound totally insane and feedback.
Cool.
But this is great for like, and then this is the second putter, which is a Red and Cuff in Los Angeles, Tall Font, which is like based off the green muffs.
Oh, yeah.
And this is second in the chain. And so it's nice when you actually cascade like the octaves, the super fuzz side into this.
Oh, cool.
To give, like, this is really rich and has a lot of gain.
That's got to be just make your guitar really alive.
Yeah, really, yeah, really alive. And this has a lot of sustain and this has a little less sustain. So you can really have fun with how they interact with each other.
Yeah, cool.
Bob doesn't do any like the order switching. You know,
oh, okay.
like I can't choose which pedal's first, which is actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. And then, so the fuzzes, and then this loud box is made by a friend in Philly by Mountain King Electronics. And this is, it's distortion, but I have the distortion all the way down and kind of use it as like a heavy clean boost.
Oh, cool.
And that sounds really good. And that go, and then this Blackstone. I don't know much about the company, but someone lent me the pedal. This pedal, exactly. I haven't given it back, obviously. I don't plan to.
So if you're watching...
Right. Oh, yeah. He knows who he is.
Yeah.
He knows where I live.
Yeah.
And this is... I think the point of this one is that it's a plexi in a box.
Oh, cool.
But you have either orange which is a certain drive, and then you can go to red drive, which is like even heavier. So you can go like nothing, orange, red. Wow. So you have like, you know.
Man, do you have trouble seeing? I can't even see that LED.
That one actually is like, when the lights are off, it's easy to tell, and I always keep it on orange, because I got enough levels of gain, plus with the high watts. But this is great just for like a little, just a distortion.
Yeah.
Like even you play a chord, you can hear every string.
Oh, cool.
MXR flanger with my Stone sticker on it.
Perfect, tried and true. Is that an old one or is that?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an old one. I actually had a buddy of mine in Philadelphia remove the power supply and put a Boss style in.
Oh, cool.
And it actually cleaned up the noise a lot.
Yeah.
I love that pedal.
Yeah, they're great,
it's great,
man.
Super easy.
Without the noise, it'd be ideal.
Right, that's the thing.
Yeah.
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 So that one sounds great. And then I just got this actually in Lawrence, Kansas. It's Electra, which is like, I think, the early Electra harmonics.
So oh, it's
like
really?
A, sounds just like a small stone, probably is a small stone, but it's not Electra harmonics yet. So I don't know if it's a prototype or what. But it's I love phasers. I used to have a Mutron Phase 2 here.
Oh, yeah.
But then I was having issues with it.
And they're big, right?
It's big. That's why that space is there.
Yeah.
It was just something about it. It wasn't working right. I'd had it for a long time. So what's cool is I took it out of the loop, and then I kind of had this space where you could kind of like get creative. So for a while I had another phaser and another fuzz pedal in there that were chained together.
Oh,
so
cool.
That was like its own loop. You could either have like just fuzz or phaser. You know, you can kind of, when you start thinking about bringing things in and out. So now it's just this phaser and a clean boost before it. Oh. The same company, the Ren and Cuff, makes this.
Ren and Cuff, and what's that one called?
I don't know if I could say it on the air.
Fat
PHUK.
Yeah, right.
You know?
PHUK.
But it's great. And like he actually modded it for me. So it has like a bass cut. And.
Oh, cool.
So that's nice because then you get a little signal loss with an old phaser, but then putting that before.
That really makes sense.
Kind of do good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, and then it goes into this, the Mini Moog tremolo.
Oh yeah,
which I love. I still have the big ring modulator.
Yeah.
Then on the low setting, it has those great tremolos. But it's really big and I got this and it just sounds so good. All this stuff is so great, so reliable.
Yeah, those are. I did a review demo of that pedal. It's
cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. They're great and they're smaller and.
They're smaller and the regular power and like. What's cool is as you change, like each knob is so interactive. Like you change the depth. And it's not really a mix knob. It's like as you back it off, it like changes the waveform. So you can get anything from like super slow tremolo to something like a Vox repeater, you know, depending on where you kind of have everything set.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
So cool everything option. Is in mono. Like everything up until there goes, I have two amps back there. And then, so this King Trem is kind of it says tremolo, but it's kind of like a univibe.
Oh.
You can go, the left side is you can set your slow speed, and then your right side set your fast, so you can go between slow and fast.
Oh, that's great,
it's
man.
Mono in and stereo out, as is my classic favorite pedal, Stereo Memory Man.
Yeah. Is that a really old Memory
that's
Man?
No, that's like an 80s one. Maybe, actually 90s, I mean.
That's still
pretty old,
20
yeah.
years. Yeah.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Which in pedal life is like... 100
right.
years.
Yeah. And that's the nice thing about the Bradshaw too is that I'm not really turning pedals on and off every night, so I get to keep they're locked in there really well, and it actually helps them helps the life of the pedal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So up until there, it's like then this goes into this. If the King Trem is activated on the board, then it's stereo.
Oh, cool.
But because this is also mono, stereo out. Then once the Memory Man's activated, it overrides this, and this becomes mono in, mono out, and this becomes stereo.
Wow.
Because I use this just on the chorus setting, just to get like that super wide thing.
Yeah.
This is a great, I just picked this up in Brooklyn like a year and a half ago, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Especially with like the phaser before it.
Definitely that's
more
cool.
Univibe than tremolo or phaser, but.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I when I was listening to y'all, I heard some like real dreamy, spacey things, and I wonder if that was part of it.
Yeah, it's that's just, definitely part of it.
Yeah, how cool.
And then, so the left side, so then all of a sudden, then you have two amps back there.
Yeah.
And then this hardwire, Well, this is the main delay too. This is before, I forgot about that. This is right before the Moog.
Okay.
This is just regular Digitech hardwired delay. I just love it. It's so reliable. It's got everything. I just use like digital kind of repeats. Nothing crazy. I don't need like analog modelers or anything.
No, it's clean, pristine. It's,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then that's after the Moog. And then this hardwire reverb pedal just goes to one amp.
Oh.
And I usually use this on the reverse setting.
Really?
Which has like no attack and it just sounds like almost like a bow or something.
Yeah, cool.
So that goes to one amp, and then this Ibanez Echo Shifter goes to the other amp. So it's like you could put all the pedals on or something, and one amp would be getting everything plus this, and the other amp would be getting everything plus the delay.
Oh, how cool.
So it's kind of cool to play off some of that stuff.
Sure.
I don't like to get too stereo.
Yeah.
But it's nice if there's one amp that just has a little bit of a different thing going on.
Yeah. And and you're doing all your controlling from the controller over there. You rarely even touch these?
Yeah, sometimes I'll come over. If I start the show with it on the tone bender, I'll have to come over and tap it to go into the other one.
Okay, oh yeah.
Because that only brings it in and out.
Yeah.
And then for the speed, I'll have to change between slow and fast.
Yeah. Cool.
But for the most part, I just leave everything on and let that thing bring everything in and out.
Okay.
Bob also built like a clean boost into the board. So I have a button there for boost.
Oh, okay.
And that's just like something like a 75 dB boost.
Okay.
That's at zero, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just bypass. And then, so that's just after everything. It's amazing. It's so great.
And then you've got his other, and he designed these ones, right?
Yeah, he designed those for MXR. And so the cool thing about this, I use a Fender Vibratone, a Leslie.
Sure.
And from the 60s. And then back in the day, I used to, go through all my pedals and then split it to the amps and the Vibratone. So the Vibratone would get all the fuzz and flanger and all that stuff. So when I designed this with Bob, we did a separate output for the Vibratone so that the guitar comes in and then it immediately, the Vibratone out, comes out clean. Doesn't hit any pedals.
Oh, cool.
So that way, even if you're soloing, you can still get that just really sweet Robbie Robertson.
Right.
So I just put this in that chain. So it's like Vibratone output into this clean boost into the Vibratone.
So the Vibratone is just, so it's not getting any effects.
Any
just
effects. Not unless I like make a little pedal board just for the Vibratone chain.
Right. That's cool. I think that's what Joe Walsh did too. He would always have that thing just spinning.
Right. It's really, like when I turn it off, I realize how much I miss it when I even just have it slow.
Yeah.
It's such a great, and it just cuts in the mix.
Yeah.
On stage, especially too.
Yeah, I think Stevie Ray Vaughan did that too.
Yeah, he did.
Just
always going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
great. I've tried a lot of the pedals and like a lot of the other rotators, but I have like three of those Vibratones now. That's a Leslie 18 model, and I have an original 68 with the 10 inch.
Oh, cool.
So.
Cool.
And this is cool too, because then I can kind of control my, I can keep it there, and then if there's a solo that I want louder with the Leslie, I just turn it up here.
Oh, cool. And you're powering it with the tier, is this a Chameleon or no?
That's a fuel tank. So I had bought this originally and used it on my board. And then this is Bradshaw's power supply.
Oh yeah, that he does through MXR as well.
Right, so this is being powered by this.
Oh, okay.
And then this is just, he's using this to do the Memory Man, which is 24 volts. And it used to run the Mutron too at something weird, like 18 volts.
Yeah.
But then since I don't use it, I use it as like a port for like being able to power things I pick up.
Yeah.
You know, which is nice to have extra power.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And
wow.
I mean, you can see the extent to which Bob, like these little hooks here to make sure these never get unplugged.
Yeah.
It's really next level.
Like, oh yeah, yeah, totally. That'd be really a fun project to like build it with him, you know?
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
He's great. I mean, he's really supportive and really awesome guy.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so after we leave this board, the mothership.
Yeah.
Where do we
go? The outputs are on the back of here, like to the other multiple amps and everything.
Yeah.
And this is like, so Bob built it so that you can still, like everybody wants to do, buy pedals on the road.
Yeah,
and try them.
Yeah.
So on the back of it, it has like a stereo send and return section for the modulation section, and then like a mono send and return for like any gain you might buy on the road.
Yeah.
So this is my other Memory Man, and I just wanted to put it in the loop to see. So this way, it's not controllable here.
Yeah.
It's really just always flowing through.
Cool.
So the only variable at that point would be the cabling. So just make sure you have good cables. And I just want to hear if it sounds a little different if I use the Memory Man instead of it in the loop.
Yeah.
It's kind of more of an experiment. Usually I don't do this little send and return thing.
Yeah.
But today I thought
I would
try it.
Cool.
And then this is my vibratone switch.
Okay.
So just speed, slow and fast. And then
do you usually leave it like on one or the other?
It's always slow.
Yeah.
And then for certain songs, I'll just go fast. I mean, there's no better sound than a Leslie slowing down.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah, it is.
That just runs TRS into the back of the Leslie.
Yeah.
Which is nice because someone had it modded. Obviously, they came originally with like those annoying like crossovers.
Yeah.
And they're only like 4 feet long.
Yeah. Pretty limited.
Yeah, so someone modded that Leslie, so it's actually a 12-inch speaker and then just a regular TRS.
Oh, cool.
So this is the controller. Bob gave me this line driver, which is a boost, essentially.
Yeah.
It's somewhere, it's like after this. So the volume pedal, it's like fuzz, fuzz, distortion, distortion, volume pedal, flanger.
And do you just leave this on
all the time?
I
usually leave that on, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. I've seen some of his other Bradshaw systems, and it's like, they all have that, and they're like on
I just
all
leave
the
it
time.
On. Like, yeah. I turn it off, and I'm like, oh, it sounds dull.
Yeah.
So I just keep it on.
Yeah.
Tuner, obviously. Boss tuner. And then, yeah, this is the thing. So I usually keep it in direct mode. There's two modes. There's direct mode, which is like a pedal board.
Yeah.
Then there's preset mode, which is then these become presets. And so I've made presets for all my songs, but I don't really use them yet because I'm not, it's not like I'm not confident. It's just things change every night.
Yeah, it's fun.
Sometimes
to like,
you use the distortion more than you would.
Right. Yeah, it's fun to do it on the fly like that. Yeah.
So in direct mode, you have your amps. So I have my 100-watt high watt, my 50-watt high watt, and then my vibratone.
Okay, so you can actually control which, like you have one or all three.
Right, so sometimes depending on what the room sounds like, you know, for a song I'll use a 50-watt and the vibratone.
Yeah.
And then for a solo I can just hit the 100-watt high watt. Usually I just have everything on all the time.
Yeah. Sure,
and,
why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so everything here just kind of brings everything in and out. Flanger, now it's off, you know.
Yeah.
It's still on, obviously, but it's just out. Memory Man, reverse delay.
Yeah, cool.
It's all there. And then, I mean, you can do so much with this bank. You know, you can go, I have songs labeled, but I'm not there yet in terms of knowing exactly what, you know.
Sure.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's killer. And then over here, you've got those two, and that's just for like
loops. Yeah, so these
loops.
I use these samplers, these Roland samplers for like drum machines.
Yeah.
And another one for some ambient sounds. And it's taken a few years to figure out exactly how to like do it.
Yeah.
Like in a live setting with the drummer being able to hear everything. So now he gets a feed from the desk of the drum machine, but it goes into this volume pedal so he can always hear it.
Oh, okay.
And I can just bring it in and out of the house.
Oh, that's
which
great.
Is great. So it's essentially like a click without it being a click. It's the actual like 707 or my Lin drum or something.
Oh, that's very cool.
And then over the years it got more creative with like in doing it in Pro Tools and then having the hard left be something else.
Yeah.
So you can bring multiple things in just off of a stereo feed.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. Okay, well let's that covers this. Let's talk about amps.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're in amp land.
Yep.
So tell me about this.
So this is a Hiwatt Custom 50, early 70s.
Oh, cool.
Probably the best sounding amp, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Into a matchless 2x12. That just sounds so great. For a long time, I like to collect amps, but it wasn't until recently that I got into Hiwatts, and I guess I just assumed they were like, that they were like Marshalls or something, that they're just like overdrive. But what I didn't realize is that they're just like so clean.
Yeah,
so
really
loud.
Clean. Really
so
clean.
So it's perfect with the pedals because they can get so much headroom. And like when you hit a fuzz, it actually gets really loud or something.
Yeah.
So I actually have two high watts. I have a 50 here in the 2x12. And then over here, I have a 72 DR 100 watt.
Oh, wow.
Running into a 215 cabinet. an Earth 215.
Really?
And it just sounds great. It's
wow,
perfect
that's
for
great.
What I want to do. And like, the great tragedy of the whole thing is that I put them behind the drum riser because it's got to a point where it's like, I want to hear everyone playing and I just like my stuff loud. Not like crazy loud, but I like it kind of loud. And so when a room fills up with people, you kind of start losing the rest of the band when you have two high watts blasting.
Yeah.
So I put them behind the drum riser and my awesome sound guys, Lowell and Colte, on a day off in Phoenix made me these sweet baffles.
Nice.
So we baffle off the amps backstage and they're really controlled. And it's actually nice too because then Chris, the sound guy, can put he uses these sweet Cascade ribbon mics, fathead ribbon mics on all of our guitar amps. He can actually put them in the house, which when they're on the stage pointing out, he'd only feather in the amps. You know?
Right, right.
So now he actually has kind of full control over the amps, which is great. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
So as much as I'd love to have like two high watts on stage, like Pete, it's actually a little bit easier.
Yeah.
For performance-wise and my ears to have them back here.
And that's got to be a great combination to have the open back 12
yeah.
and then the 15 closed
back.
Yeah,
closed back 15.
Yeah,
that's great. And the 100 watt through that is just really clean and chimes. And then this is a little more rock and roll, depending on the venue or whatever I'm feeling.
Wow.
This one's jumped, so it's like you just go into the normal input and the normal and the bright control it. So you can kind of like, you know, have a little bit of bright, a little bit of normal,
right,
kind of cascade into each other.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you nervous about traveling with, I mean, these are like 40-year-old amps.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, well, actually, I actually have a ton of other amps, too, that I just sent out to the amp guy here in Nashville.
Oh, really?
So I had like my 70s Fender Bassman.
Yeah.
That's usually driving the Leslie that I sent out today in my AC30,
yeah.
My British AC30.
Stuff breaks.
That's part of the thing, you know? I mean, that's part of the fun, too. In a perfect world, I would, like, know how to tech my own amps.
Yeah.
But I'm, like, too scared to, like, shock
oh,
myself.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the high watts are great.
Yeah, that's great. So you run both these, and then over here is your Leslie.
Yeah, my Leslie, my Vibratone Leslie.
Okay, so this is, like, your last secret weapon.
Yeah. This is my favorite thing. This is just a Leslie, Fender Vibratone Leslie. I think this might be like early 70s when it moved to Leslie or what. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, this just has a 12-inch speaker with a rotating drum. You mic it up with those same Cascade ribbon mics on both sides.
Cool.
You can also mic the top. Some people mic the top.
Yeah.
And then I just have this Fender Princeton. One of the new Fender ones, 65. It's great. I mean, on its own, it's a great amp. I usually use it at the on the stage to monitor. But since the Bassman is in the shop, I'm going to use this to power it. But it's great. You don't need much gain into this because I just get it mostly in the monitors at the side fills.
Yeah.
And keep it kind of low and just to hear that swirl on stage.
Yeah, that's great.
It's great. I keep it at like 4.5 or 5. I can't use the reverb because the drums will shake the tank, so you'll hear the crash every time the drums do it.
Yeah.
But I just love it. It's such a great sound. I used it on the record. I used a real Leslie.
Oh, great.
And then I kind of got obsessed with finding something I could tour with, and then ever since I just kind of try to, you know, if I see a Vibratone for a good price or something. But
yeah.
I love it. It's just kind of one of those things.
That's great.
That it's nice to have the real thing sometimes, you know?
Yeah,
like the pedals, a lot of people do really good, really, really good jobs with the pedals, but just the way I am, I like to have like a real Leslie. You know, it's potentially unreliable. This one actually, knock on wood, has been really, really great. But there's something about the excitement of hoping that it makes it for another show, another tour, you know?
Yeah.
And the Princeton is just, you know, heavy duty in its own little small tiny way, you know?
Yeah.
It's great, it does the trick. Plenty of wattage for it to do this. And perfect size, looks cool right on top.
Yeah, it's perfect.
You know? The Bassman I have, the Bassman 50, has almost the same amount of age. So when you put it on top, it like matches the Leslie perfectly.
Yeah, that looks cool.
But yeah, I love it. It's just this on its own, or this powering this, is just really fun. And having that separate output on the board is a huge help, just to get that dry, really clear sound going into this thing.
Very cool. Well, let's hear all this stuff, man.
All right.
Yeah.
The reverse. No, it's not working.
Oh, how cool. Yeah. Awesome, man. Yeah, yeah, great. Well, man, congratulations on everything. Have a great tour.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
It's John Mollinger with Premier Guitar. Peace out.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.